Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Shasta Unmasked. I'm your guest host for today, Benjamin Nowain, joined by guest Jessica French. Today we'll be speaking with city council candidates Paul Zanuka and Ian Hill. If you'd like to ask the candidates questions, we will be taking calls later in the show. Feel free to call in at 530-605-4567. So, oh yeah, and Ashley, she's here. Sorry, I forgot that. All right, so do we want to get started?
Yeah, let's get started.
Okay. So we're going to ask some questions today. I think this happened on the previous show as well, where we asked questions based on things that are related to city council, usually one word, and it's kind of a word association game. Figure out who we're going to start with and
who raises their hand first. Go.
Yeah. Oh, Ian.
Oh, Ian.
He played the game. All right, Ian, I got a question for you. If I can find where I put my questions. Okay, so I'm going to ask, number one, I'm going to ask about homelessness. That's the word.
Oh, okay.
So we're just going to give you a word, and then you're just going to elaborate on what that means to you in your run for city council.
Okay.
And the city of Reading in general.
Okay. Homelessness is tied a lot to my main push of housing, just for kind of everyone. The main thing for me for homelessness is people who are homeless are not a monolith, so there's not really any one program that's always going to work for everyone. So we really have to understand the needs of different people that are homeless, and then especially working with the county, because a lot of those programs are administered by the county, to cater it and deploy it locally for the city. So I've been going a lot to the mental health, substance abuse, I always mix up that acronym, it's like seven letters long. Been going there and just really understanding what's available with the county, and then taking tours of like Visions of the Cross and the Mission and stuff like that to really understand what's available and what resources are available for our community, so that when I do get the office, basically hit the ground running and start on those type of things.
Okay. Danuka, do you have an answer for that?
It's a terrible tragedy that one of the wealthiest nations in the history we are the currently the wealthiest nation in the history, and we have a situation that people who are unable to find a shelter, a roof on their head, they're unable to find clean water, they're unable to find the hygienic bathrooms. It's a shame for us. It's a moral imperative for any society to judge themselves by how we treat the least amongst us. We as a society are failing the least amongst us, including those who may have mental health challenge, and drug dependence is frequently because of mental health challenges, or because of the cost of housing. I once saw a grandma with five little kids, 5 to 10 year old, that was a few years ago, 5 to 10 year old, staying homeless outside the South City Park. I was heartbroken. I tried my best talking with so many people, and everybody said, oh, we have so much resources. But whenever you call someone, they will say, well, we can't do this, we can't do this, or you could talk with someone else. This red tape is killing us. Where is all this money, which is going billions of dollars, where is it going if you have the children on the street? So for me, this is a hydra. This is like multiple heads issue. You have a housing cost issue, you have a mental health issue, you have drug dependence issue, and the result is that we have the challenge in our city, which displays in many, many forms. And then, of course, there are businesses who will react to it because, of course, they don't want anybody unwelcome there. So they react to it. And then our society gets more and more polarized. So how do we tackle this? That's a question. It has to be, number one, reducing the cost of housing by reducing the red tape, reducing the impact fees, and bringing those grants here, not just for big developers, but even for small housing developers. That's one. Second thing is, I want to have a mental health and drug rehab facility, 20 to 30 beds for those who are unable to take care of themselves and who need inpatient treatment, combined with a comprehensive outpatient treatment. And I have worked on that. And we have money coming in. We have a $40 million coming from opiate settlement. Proposition one, for $6 billion, I have calculated that to Shasta County, you should have $30 million. 75% of that goes to mental health and drug rehab, and 25% goes to housing. We can do these things, but we can only do this if you focus on it, stop wasting money, work together, and have some leadership. And I intend to provide that.
Okay. I actually do want to add just a little piece to that. It was interesting what you said about red tape, because I do have an acquaintance that is currently going through Section 8 housing right now, and they were given a list of different property agencies that would take the Section 8 housing, and yet of the 30 or 40 or so listed on there, there were maybe four that actually met the criteria in regards to the amount of money that the city was able to give. And so I think that's a big issue, and I'd like to see whatever candidate comes forward to be able to handle that.
Okay. I have another comment about the red tape as well. I feel like when people, especially people that are dealing with mental health situations, whether it's a crisis or whether it's continued mental health problems, they often have hard times navigating systems like that. And I know for me, when I've been in positions to try and help people, and I feel like I'm a super resourceful person, I'm technologically advanced, for me to have difficulty with that, I can't imagine what somebody with that kind of hindrance would go through, and how do they even navigate it? And also, they have other factors involved, like they don't have transportation.
Right.
They don't have a phone sometimes. Yep. They don't have clean clothes and things like that to go to appointments. So all of those barriers, there's so many barriers that are put in place, and I really wish we had one building that housed all of these.
Like a navigation center?
Yes. Oh, yeah, a navigation center.
There has been talk about navigation center for a long time.
Yeah.
But what we have is a very fractured environment. We have by some calculation, that we have 500-600 nonprofit organizations in our county.
Yeah.
Can we just get together and work on the same thing together?
Yes, yeah. I feel like there should be – I feel like if you're a nonprofit organization that is community, under the guise of community, because they have that one section in nonprofit where then you should have to work with other entities in your community. It should be part of your nonprofit status, especially when you're providing basic needs services like that.
It's what I liked a lot about Matt Plummer's opioid summit. I mean, it at its base, it was just mostly informational. There wasn't any real business being done there. But the important thing was getting all or many of the players in the same room to have discussions to kind of begin that. So it would be nice to have a structured place or a structured meeting type.
Right, but so many egos get in the way all the time, and then it breaks down. It's like they have to be forced to work together.
Yeah.
You don't get your money unless you work with these other people.
It certainly needs to be structured, a charrette.
If I may, one of the things which came up during that meeting was one of the ladies said very well that we need to make one person in charge, right, so that they can really be responsible for it and accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did offer a name there, and I would offer that again. Somebody has to be above reproach, above questions. And Dr. Imran Khan, I again mentioned, plug it in, his name. He is a psychiatrist at Shasta Community Health Center. Does a great work. He's a great doctor, great human being. Someone like him. So you make who's above reproach and make him in charge of these things to make sure that things get effectively used, cost effectively, efficiently, and the benefit really reaches those people who really need it.
Good idea.
So do we want to move on to our next word?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So we just did Paul. We're going to do you, Ian. How about crime? What do you say about crime?
So crime, I would say, tied in actually with homelessness and such, because I don't know the actual percentage of hours that a police officer this is happening, but there's a lot of interaction with people who are homeless, and it eats up a lot of time. And it doesn't actually always do that much. They just kind of shepherd unhoused people around, and it doesn't, in the end, it doesn't do anything. So really being able to help people who are homeless or just need more resources to get them back on track, if we can get those people sort of siphoned away from the criminal justice system into more rehabilitation or things like that, then that decreases the time that police officers spend with these type of cases. And then also that trickles down to the budget for the city and for the county, because then those processes, those cases have to be processed, you know, the DA, court appearances, just all these things. So it's, and I'll stand by this, but it is cheaper to provide housing and a kind of caseworker. Or, you know,
We're going to break. Sorry. We'll finish up when we get back.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
The Ramsey Show.
When you're walking around with a little picket in your hand and you're saying, I demand $22 to work at McDonald's, then you don't get to bitch about inflation.
Yeah.
Because you caused it.
It's The Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Well,
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. I'm your guest host, Benjamin Wayne. Jessica French is a guest today, and Ashley is on the phones. We haven't heard from her yet.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. I haven't heard you the whole time today.
Well, we had some technical difficulties in the beginning getting Skype to work, but it's here now. We're on time.
Hey,
how's it going?
It happens. It happens. Glad to hear you. Ian, when you were so rudely interrupted by our sponsors, you were in the middle of talking about crime. There we go.
So essentially, to wrap up real quick, I believe it is cheaper to provide housing and a caseworker and those services to people who need them than to have police sort of consistently interact with them, and there's not really progress that usually gets made. So if we can siphon people away from the criminal justice system, either we, in the end, can provide the same level of policing for cheaper, because we won't need as many to provide the same amount because they won't be interacting all the time, or we can maintain what we have and then have even more policing going on. And it seems like some of that policing is working. Mazzano keeps talking about those stats, how, you know, car theft and a bunch of other crimes have like gone down in the past couple of years because we have reached basically full staffing with police in the city. So that would be my takeaway, essentially have the police not have to interact with people who are homeless and help them get actual programs, and then they can focus on, you know, more dangerous or pertinent crimes.
Okay. And I do appreciate that. There are a lot of programs out there that when the biggest thing we always talk about is how much money things cost our community, and when you look at it from that guise, the amount of money we save by running these programs as opposed to just doing nothing.
Yeah, the police budget is like 40, almost half the city budget.
Mm-hmm.
So any savings we can get towards the police department is quite a big chunk of change.
Okay. And I just want to remind people they can call in at 530-605-4567 if they'd like to ask either of the candidates questions. Let's move on to Paul Danuka. What would you say about the word crime?
So there are two types of crime. One is a violent crimes in our community. And actually, frankly, recently we have had a rash of them. You know, we have had double homicide recently. And we have had some drunk or driving under the influence, killing people. So I am concerned about those things as well. And definitely our police does a great job with those things. But recently we have seen a little bit of uptick in that. We have to better watch for that. For example, one of the person who was a criminal who recently shot somebody on 273, a few months ago, he was in the line for Jack in the Box, and he actually shot at a car several times, and he was detained and then released. And a few months later, he's an accomplice to a murder. I would like to know, why did this happen? So that's about the violent crimes, domestic violence. That's an issue which needs to be really looked into it. You know, it affects the, again, the least amongst us, the children and the women who are vulnerable. But at the same time, the petty crimes which our police is police is spending a lot of time on, that can be relieved by having a mental health and drug rehab facility. In fact, a few years ago, Bill Shuler, who was a captain of police, he had this, he wanted to build this facility, a minimum security kind of a 20-30 bed facility where people who need to be, let's say, in the jail.
All right, can we take a quick phone call and maybe we can continue on?
Okay.
All right, go ahead and patch him in. Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, my name's Nathan. I was just calling to ask Dr. Danuka a question. I've not really known a whole lot about Dr. Danuka other than things I've seen in the news or things like that. And my question for him was, it kind of goes back to, you know, the COVID era, 2020 era, and certain stances that I saw him take regarding, you know, vaccinations, public safety, social distancing. And I was just, I just kind of wanted to ask him why, as a doctor, he was someone that was prominently and publicly against promoting public safety.
Nathan, I don't think we have ever met, but I appreciate you calling me. And I would love to sit down with you and answer this question in more details, probably, because it seems like to me that there are certain assumption and based on rumors here. And I don't mean to, you know, say that you are going by that, but I'm just saying there seems to be something like that. Because as a physician, I have always advocated for appropriate use of vaccination. I have held vaccination drives. And I have always been in support of appropriate use of vaccination. Even during COVID, I was never against any vaccination. So, I mean, I don't think anybody can show me a single statement that I was against vaccination. So,
I remember that you were, you know, showing up to the board meetings when there was a lot of turmoil going on, and you were part of the group of people that were very against the lockdowns and the mandates, and I could understand a normal citizen that doesn't take a Hippocratic oath, you know, taking that stance because they just maybe don't know better. So it was just concerning for me to see someone that has taken that Hippocratic oath to be on that side of things.
And my Hippocratic oath says, first do no harm. And one of the things which we have learned in public health, and I've dealt with infectious diseases like tuberculosis, leprosy, measles, you name it, I have dealt with it for all my life. I've been a doctor for 40 years. I have taken care of patients from open tuberculosis to leprosy to all kind of infections. And first thing is you do no harm. And one thing we have learned, especially we learned this during HIV epidemic, that the best course for public participation and healthcare education is through education and empowerment. We have seen that with the attempts for population control. We have seen the attempt with the HIV mandates. So what public health has taught us historically is you educate people, you empower people. Once you try to have the mandates, then you have likely going to face a public which is going to, some of them will turn hesitancy. And that hesitancy was what concerned me. And I was always in favor of appropriate use of vaccination, but I really wanted to make sure the public gets educated and empowered rather than feeling. Because, you know, public health is about public trust. And then we have seen that. I mean, this is, and that's what I was trying to protect. Now, when you say the other people, I'm not responsible for what others say or others do not say. I am Paul Dhanuka. You should judge me on the basis of what I say. And I'm happy to apologize if I have said anything. But if someone can show me that I have said anything against vaccination, I have always been in the favor of education, empowerment, and appropriate use of vaccination or any other treatment. I never force my patients.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I don't want to waste too much of your time. Like I said, I've never gotten to speak to you about that
I'll
before.
Be
it felt like an opportunity.
I'll be happy to sit with you. I'll be happy to sit with you man to man and answer any questions.
All right. Let's move on. Thank you so much, Nathan,
thank you
for calling in. We need to go to break.
When we come back, we have another caller, so stay on the line.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns,
and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Fott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us on Wednesdays. We welcome Kevin Cry, Supervisor, First District, and Chairman of the Board of Supervisors to discuss measures P and Q. Also joining us at 8 o'clock is Shasta County Sheriff Mike Johnson with the latest on what's happening with crime in Shasta County. This and much more Wednesday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. I'm your guest host for today, Benjamin Nguyen, and Jessica French is here, as well as Ashley.
Hey.
So we do have a caller. We're going to get back to Mr. Danuka in just a moment. Let's see. Can we patch in that caller?
Tiffany, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. What do you have for us?
Hello. I have a comment. It's more for Dr. Danuka, and I also love Mr. Hill's idea about housing and everything. Dr. Danuka, I actually met you last Tuesday night at a Supervisor Plumber's meeting, or incoming. My thing is, and I love, thank you for bringing up the fact of our violent crime, because that rate has gone up. Currently, I am a consultant for human trafficking survivors and survivors of non-lethal strangulation, and many times it's catch and release through no fault of law enforcement who's making the arrest. My daughter was is a survivor of an assault by a stranger at her apartment last month. And my thing is, when do we hold people accountable? Even some of our agencies, not all of them, but one in particular, does not like law enforcement. And they do good work. However, we worked with a lot of violent people, and it was okay for us, for my staff and myself, to be assaulted and other clients to be assaulted, but you could not call 911 to protect yourself. So, and that seems to kind of be an ongoing theme. And how do we fight that? I mean, there has to be some accountability. You know, my thinking is mandate rehab if it's drugs or jail, because a lot of these folks don't want to change.
I was just going to ask for a clarification question. Tiffany, what agency are you talking about?
Not at liberty to say, but it is a medical facility.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Well, Tiffany, I hear your concern, and it's heartbreaking because sometimes it's difficult to say that who needs real help and who really is creating a problem, right? And what you have is a legitimate concern, especially I'm not in the same position. I'm not at same risk as a young person, as a child or a woman will be. I mean, I'll give you an example. Last Saturday, 10 o'clock in the daytime, I went to my wife's office to pick up some stuff, and she has a parking lot in the back. And the building next door, which is vacant, and dare I say this, I find this naked man at 10 o'clock taking bath from the water from the next door building. Now, my wife is the only cancer doctor left in town, right, who's local, everybody else from outside. Now, she's working late hours. She's working on the weekend sometime, trying to help people. I don't feel safe for her.
Right, exactly.
So, I understand that. But you have a legitimate concern, and that's why I'm saying it's a question of having a discernment. It's a question of having a discretion that who are the people who are really fallen on the bad times. How do we help them? But at the same time, the people have to be held accountable too. So we need both the balance between accountability and assistance.
Right. And I think that's a frustration right now, is that there is no accountability. I think, you know, a lot of our folks suffer from mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that can't be helped.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there is no mental health facility, and our mental health agencies are impacted right now. And it's hard to get them in.
Right.
And what do? They self-medicate, okay, which makes their symptoms worse.
You're right. We have a 4 psychiatrists or so in the entire county, which is a ratio less than a couple of 2 or 3 in 100,000. The state average is 14, and Bay Area has 25. So we have an acute shortage. We have a crisis. So we absolutely have to work on that. But we also, I always believe in balance rather than the extremes. We need to balance the accountability with the assistance.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Thank you so much.
We need to have that balance.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And good luck.
Thank you. May I just ask one more thing, which I was finishing my thought before the last minute. No, it's about other things. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you, Tiffany. All right. You're welcome.
Bye.
So it was about the thought which I was trying to finish before
yes.
we close about the COVID thing.
Absolutely.
I do want to point out one thing for your listeners and all the public in general. During those times, I was a bit ahead of curve. If you see the positions I took and I advocated for, have actually each and every one of them has been adopted by CDC and California Department of Public Health. Every one of them is actually currently the standard. I'll give you just one example. There was an executive order by the governor at that time to have a universal, you know, children to be covered by that. And they actually, governor himself rescinded that after seeing the scientific evidence. So I was a bit ahead of curve, and that's why I see that gap can happen between what I was saying and what people understood as. So I just want to make sure that people know that today, everyone has agreed with our position.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that clarification. Let's move on. Let's see. Okay. Who do we want to start with this time? Okay.
I'll go ahead and take one. I would like to go with the word tourism, because that's been something that's been coming up a lot on a county level with the supervisors. What do you think about working with them as far as promoting tourism? And a secondary question, how would you combat the poor image that the area has regarding crime and welcoming tourists in and ensuring their safety while they're in the area?
So thank you, Ashley. Thank you for asking this. I mean, we all complain about the crime, and we all complain about the petty crimes or bigger crimes. But the reality is, Reading is still a very safe place compared to some of the big cities. And of course, we want it better. We do not want to tolerate the crime. But part of this is imaging issue, that what are the optics, right? And frankly, the tourism is something Actually, it's one of the five major sectors of our economy, other ones being governance, education, retail, construction, and healthcare. So tourism is extremely important. So for us, so we need to promote that with the city and county. One of the things which I have always been successful doing in my life, just because of the place I am and as a physician, I have to lead the teams. I have to lead the teams of different positions, different people, sometimes hundreds of people. And I can bring the people from different positions, different partisan positions even, together and make them focus on what's really important for us, what's really uniting us, what's common to us. And I can successfully do that. So tourism is certainly our major industry, and we need to work together on that.
Okay. Ian?
I also see tourism a little more broadly. So not only just people who are visiting, actual tourists, but, my mom used to work with the hospitals to try and get doctors to come here and, you know, set up residency program and all that. And, we only really have one first impressions. We have one chance to sort of entice people when they come here, not only for doctors, as Dr. Danuka knows, but also for other types of jobs. So, and when they come here, they do think it's very pretty. They like the small town feel and things like that, but then they start to hear about crime and also our county's instability. You know, we keep showing up in national news. And so it's going to take a while for that image to change again, unfortunately. So working on getting crime to go down, more housing here, just slow and steady, trying to change our image is the way we're going to get more tourism and also just attract more people to the area. And Reading has a lot going for it. I mean, we're the natural terminus to the valley. Everyone has to come through us. We're the biggest city north of Sacramento until like Medford or Eugene. So a lot of the services just for the North State in general kind of are centered here. And so we just have a lot of things going for us. And if we capitalize on those, our tourism is going to be good. But it's going to take some time to sort of turn stuff around. So.
Okay. I appreciate that.
If I may add just one more thing to it.
Certainly. Go ahead.
I'm a big supporter of Turtle Bay. And I think Turtle Bay has been very good for our community. The bridge, you know, they have brought this light show and the lantern show. That's great. They recently brought Bendaloop there. So I've been on board of their advisory board, as well as I've been always supported and sponsored some programs, including Turtle Bay Museum for All, for people who cannot afford it, for admission tickets. One of the things which I've advocated there is to bring something really big and great. Let's say a planetarium. If we have something like that, then we will become more like an attraction for many other people. We have a small planetarium right now.
That's what I was thinking.
Right. No, I was part of supporting that. I was part of actually raising the funds for the new projector at Shredder Planetarium.
Okay.
But I would like to have a big one.
Okay. All right. So, Ian, I'm going to start with you this time. The word is Bethel.
I mean, I guess the question on everyone's mind, I am not part of Bethel.
Okay.
I'm not part of any religious organization or such, but as I've said, I'm happy to work with people of any faith or background because, you know, at a local level, so many things, people try and bring the national in a lot at a local level, and honestly, once you start talking to neighbors or people you've met at the bar or things like that, you find you have much more, and you agree on much more than you disagree on, especially at a local level. So focusing on that and working towards shared goals is how I would move forward.
Okay. Dr. Danuka?
So I go to Pilgrim's Church, a little small church, progressive Pilgrim's Church, which Jessica and me both are members there, and we love it. Having said that, I have friends with who go to Bethel Church, and they are a lot of productive citizens who have a drive, especially when they migrate from other parts of the world. They have a drive to do something good, something big, and I'm happy to see them being engaged. I'm happy to work with everyone. I mean, for me, it doesn't really matter which church you go to, what religion you belong to, what's your background. We're all the same. And we absolutely have to treat everyone fairly without being biased towards anybody.
I think what we were hoping to hear about is what you think Bethel's impact has been on our community.
Oh, okay.
And also about the Bethel, you know, the majority of the board of City of Reading. And if you think what you think about that as far as being able to represent everyone.
Yeah. I believe that Bethel currently represents about 10% of the population, maybe a little bit more. And that's they're oh,
we're, oh, we have a break.
We're going to break.
So when
sorry.
We come back, think about that.
Okay.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us on Wednesdays. We welcome Kevin Cry, Supervisor, 1st District, and Chairman of the Board of Supervisors to discuss measures P and Q. Also joining us at 8 o'clock is Shasta County Sheriff Mike Johnson with the latest on what's happening with crime in Shasta County. This and much more Wednesday right here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. Please join us as we welcome back Jerry Jewell, star of Facts of Life and Deadwood. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. This is our last home stretch. I'm here with Jessica French and Ashley. And let's see. We have, we were just speaking to, who was talking last? Oh, that's right. I was making a statement. I was just talking about the fact that Bethel it does represent about 10% of the population, maybe a little more. And I felt that that being kind of a majority, or it looks like they're going to be in a majority on the city council, that that was the concern, I think, that a lot of citizens have in regards to being able to work with other people. But, I mean, in speaking with Ian, it sounds like, you know, working with everybody is going to be the key. But do you have anything else to say about that?
Yeah, you mentioned 10% of the population, but depending on how the election goes, they could be 60%, 80% of the board.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with the board. You know, Bethel, retired, business owner, law enforcement. That's yeah. kind of the four categories that are on the board.
Okay.
And I just feel that's overrepresented. Like, there's no one under 35. So I'm 33. There's no public employee. There's no...
there's no doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doctor.
Yeah. On healthcare worker.
You know, I think everyone up there owns their house. I'm renting. So it's just, I feel, especially for Bethel, they are very overrepresented on the council, given their population.
I like that. Representative of the people.
So that would be something I would like to see, sort of more a more matching of the population.
Okay. So. Do you have a statement?
So my position on this is we have a democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
People have the option of getting engaged, getting informed, going out to vote, advocating for their positions on their favored candidates. So it's incumbent upon the people to get engaged, run for office, support the candidates who are running, who you like, and promote that, what you are positioning. But if someone is winning in free and fair election, we work with whosoever wins.
Okay. That actually is a really good statement. Yeah. If you want to run for office, go ahead and
support
throw your hat
candidates the you like.
Throw your hat into the ring. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just say there is kind of a bias towards that, as I have found running and last time, that when you're retired, you have the free time. When you own your business, you can make your own schedule most of the time. When you're working 9 to 5, I mean, the Shasta County Association of Realtors, they had their meeting 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. Hmm. You know, luckily I had a supervisor who let me flex my schedule, but you know,
also the money. I know one of the candidates for Shasta County Office of Education couldn't actually, not just one, a couple of them, they couldn't pay for the candidate statement. It was mm-hmm. $750.
Yeah.
So immediately the people that could afford that had a better chance of winning. Mm-hmm. And also when it comes to Bethel, they have the support of all those 10% of Bethel community members.
Like a voter's block, yeah.
By the money and by everything else.
I just wanted to chip in because I do go to Bethel. But I do, I mean, I've always thought if they're only 10%, then through an election process, you could just move them out. I mean, as more people see it, and it looks like there's an uprising, you could just vote them out slowly, one by one. There is no tithing money going into elections. The tithing money doesn't go to that. But, you know, another thing is it's not like the church is one band trying to pull over Reading. We are just a church. But since it's such a big church, there's groups of people in the church who might do that. And I just wanted to say that doesn't represent me. It doesn't represent my parents. And it's important to think about that, that just because one person does one thing, it doesn't represent everyone.
Right. Thanks for your input.
I do appreciate
your
that.
Input. Yeah. Yeah, I always looked, I've said this before, but I always have looked at Bethel as an institution instead of a church, because I think that there is a church piece to it, and everyone I know that goes to Bethel, most everyone I know, are great people, and they don't see Bethel as I see it, but I see it as a business and a huge entity that makes a lot of money and has caused some problems for our community. And also has done some good things. So I think it's important to see both sides of it and not pretend like they don't both exist.
Yeah, and if I could just add one piece, I don't really feel the biggest issue that I've had regarding Bethel is in relation to housing. They have a lot of people who come in from out of town. They're putting a lot of money into the economy, so it's actually not bad there. But then what happens is you have locals who've lived here their whole lives that are having difficulty maintaining that housing because the housing market has sort of shifted to these groups outside. We've had discussions amongst some officials before regarding you know, having those individuals, not the individuals, but Bethel to have actual their own housing for their students, and it sort of hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, especially for renters, because you know, and like Ben was saying, it's not exactly Bethel the church that's buying the properties, but people from Bethel buying properties and housing,
yeah.
You know, 10 people in one apartment and making it a communal living environment has also caused a lot of problems for the housing community, people that own homes next to them, and there's 10 cars parked there. And they also, there's apartment complexes where they rent to, you know, strictly Bethel students, and even though they're just regular apartment complexes. And they also have turned a lot of the apartment complexes into furnished homes, which make them more expensive, so the average person that's renting couldn't afford them anyway.
Yeah, and I do have a bias, obviously, just like I'm right-leaning, so I have a bias in politics. Like, I recognize that. Just letting
you know. Oh, yeah, we know. I appreciate that you're here to speak on the other side of things, because it is important to hear both sides, I think.
It's a very thoughtful discussion. We appreciate that. We have just a few minutes left. I'd like to do like a 2 to 3 minute, maybe 2 minute candidate closing statements. Ian, do you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I'm your environmental labor, you know, blue collar worker or choice. And I'm focusing on climate for fire and water, housing, continuum of housing for everyone, infrastructure, roads, fiber, things like that, learning. So university policies and job programs, and then also labor, like I said. So chill with Hill. That's what I'm focusing on, but. You know, obviously there's lots of other stuff to work on, and I'm gonna do it. So,
all right, Dr. Januka.
So, I have had diverse experiences and backgrounds. I was elected as a president of a medical students union at age 22, but I have also owned businesses and created businesses and institutions. I grew up with my father, who was a teacher, and now my son is a teacher, and my wife is a doctor, 2 children are doctor. I teach part-time. So I have this diverse background of doctor, teacher, business person, community organizer. But at the heart of it, the two things I would describe myself as a doctor, healing and teacher. Those are the things that are most important to me. And what I want to do is, those are the two primary things I want to do, make Reading an education, hub of education and healthcare. So that we can take care of the people who need healthcare, mental health, primary care, specialty care. I want to build a drug rehab and mental health facility. I want to bring a medical school here, and not just for doctor training, but therapist, x-ray techs, ultrasound, nurses, all kind of things, which can attract people from all over the country who will come here, pay the tuition here, and our children can dream and be inspired by it. I also want to focus on the reduced cost of living, housing, and the insurance cost, well-paying jobs. Those are very important. So this is my economic plan, because medical school is not going to be just about healthcare. It's going to be an economic boom to our county, our area. I do want to mention that I am a consensus builder. I talk with all the sides, and I can see both the sides of the coin. I always believe that an eagle needs both the wings to fly, cannot fly on one wing. That's who I am. I will talk with everyone, I'll respect everyone's opinion, and I'll bring them together. And I can promise you, by working together, I'm absolutely sure we can make Reading an inspiration for our next generation and a destination for our nation. So I humbly ask for your vote and your support, and you can go to my website, drpauldhanuka.com, drpauldhanuka.com, and please vote for me. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just real quickly, I did want to mention, we're just about out of time, but I did want to mention that I do believe it's very important that we attract more doctors to Reading, particularly things like specialists, neurologists in particular. There is pretty much nobody in the region. So I, you know, if that can happen, if we can figure out a way to make that happen, I'm all for that.
I'd agree.
Me too.
All right.
We can all agree on that. That's great. How about you, Ben?
Producer Ben can't talk because of all the microphones being.
No, it's just quite a process, but I'm able to figure it out. So, yes, I love running this show. It's so fun.
But, and if I may,
that wasn't the question, Ben.
Okay, maybe I wasn't concentrating. I'll admit it.
If I may say that, in the last 6 months of my campaigning, I've seen that everyone wants that.
Yeah.
Okay. Healthcare and medical school and education.
Yeah,
everyone.
For sure.
And thank you so much for coming down. Shasta Unmasked with Benjamin Nguyen and Jessica French.
Thank you so much.
And Ashley, I'm so sorry. You're not in the room. I keep forgetting you're not.
Bye.
Said forever, now I drive alone past your street. And all my friends are tired of hearing how much I miss you, but I kind of feel sorry for them.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.